Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Championship heads to Philadelphia's Arana Mink Golf Club for the first time since 1962.
The emotion-packed drama was never greater as player studies the contour of the green.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson.
Gary Player becomes the first resident of a foreign country ever to win the PGA. For doing it, he receives the Rodman Wanamaker Trophy
and Brandon Sprague.
And the biggest PGA check ever, $13,000.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your weekends are great. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Hopefully you were celebrated yesterday, as you should be.
We love the mommies.
Love the mommies around here. Got a lot to get to here in the final hour of the show. We do have the duds series tonight in the NBA.
But just wrap it up. I'd rather wrap it up.
Yeah, actually, I just don't let Cleveland win another game. Just get it over with. Go to 3-1. Like, if once you're to 2-2, now I might have to watch. Now I might have to follow. I just get it over with. Win tonight, Cleveland, Detroit. Go up 3-1, and then that thing's done. And we all know the Thunder are going to win tonight. Lots to get to. We'll start with the Blazers here in a moment in this hour of radio. Yeah. But I did want to pass it along.
Uh-oh. What do we got going?
It can now be reported and confirmed. Our sources have confirmed and corroborated the evidence that the afternoon round of the Fan Golf Classic. I'm going to go ahead and take credit for this.
Yeah.
Since you just did the read an hour ago.
Sure.
Or 2 hours ago, it would have been. That put us over the hump. The afternoon round is sold out.
All right.
Let's go.
Usually the way it works, the afternoon one usually goes first, so remember that for next year.
And there are less than 15 foursomes available in the morning round.
We have the numbers up to less than 15? Better get on it. 1051thefan.com. June 23rd, come hang out with us out at Langdon Farms Golf Club. So that's very exciting news. Can't wait to be out there again. And the afternoon round officially, finally, sold out, baby, as we do every year. So go scoop up those morning rounds. Lots to get to again in the final hour of the show. I'm going to start with your neighborhood restaurant group. Poll question of the day on X every day and dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandy O's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lorehurst Market Steakhouse. I had a hard time finding a way to phrase this.
I know. I was thinking about it earlier. I didn't post it. I'm like, how do you say it?
So you could go down the Young Hansen Road. I didn't want to do that because I felt like that. Just I kind of know how the fan base feels on that one. At least you should feel. I asked the question, how big of a loss is Mike Schmitz leaving to go be the GM of the Mavs for the Blazers? You have three options. I think most people will take the middle road out.
I think that's going to be the overwhelming
I didn't want to not
answer.
Leave the middle road, though, because everybody would be like, well, it's not either or. Everybody's going to yell at me and hate me. So here we go. Your options are huge. He was elite.
Mm-hmm.
Meh, they'll be fine. Or none. They're better off without him.
I mean, it's hard to look at the draft picks and not make the argument none better without him.
Yeah.
If we find out that truly he was the mastermind wizard that told Joe Cronin to make the trade to get Denny Avdia, it was his idea. And then we also find out that he got in the room and he goes, don't take that deal with Phoenix yet. Get to Monte Kamara or bail on the deal. If that comes out, I'll change the answer.
Yeah, by all means, because then you were a huge integral part in getting a key piece.
He's your assistant general manager. It's nice to have somebody from a tree move on to another job.
Yeah.
But his
good
draft
relationships
history,
with another NBA
yeah,
team,
sure.
Too.
His yeah. draft history is not good. So I might actually vote none.
Yeah, I have. It's just weird.
Are you worse than a Young Hansen pick?
You go back to. It's just to your point, like, we don't know who's calling the shots in terms of the ultimate roster decisions, which is kind of a weird spot to be in. Because in most cases, and I don't know, maybe this exists in other teams and I just don't follow it closely enough, where you're like, who gets the credit for that draft pick? Is it the GM or the assistant GM?
But we don't do that in any other team.
That's
in sports.
What I'm saying. Like, I don't know of any other team that we do that for. Like, there's some that are unique where there's the, and we talked about this earlier, where you have guys who are technically like the president of basketball operations.
Yes.
And then having a general manager. Those
right.
are two different things.
If that was Joe and Mike, I'd say, all right, well, but then this is maybe going to be a huge deal.
He's not the president of basketball. He might, maybe he is, but he's also the general manager. Joe Cronin is. And so your general manager is still here. It was unique to see the reaction to it. And you see a lot of the extremes on both sides of, you know, it being the best thing or the worst thing, or, you know, the Blazers are screwed now without him. And I kind of roll my eyes at a lot of that stuff. I certainly think he was he seemed like a good dude. We've had him on the show before back prior to, I don't know if we ever had him on in his Blazer days.
No, it was when he was doing
the Draft
Express.
He was still at ESPN, and he was great, dude. Like, he was fun to interview.
He seems like a super nice guy.
Everybody behind the scenes says he's a great guy, and they're all rooting for him. And so, you know, we'll see how it works out in the long run in Dallas. But I did have, and maybe I'm putting too much credit on him. Maybe more blame should go towards Joe Cronin, because he certainly is still the general manager. But just the last pick that collection of guys made as a GM and assistant GM, being a player who seems to be 3 years away from playing meaningful minutes in the NBA,
yeah,
left me with a taste in my mouth on Friday of like, yeah, good riddance, dude.
Well,
that was the last pick we got. See you later, buddy.
To say whose idea it was, I mean, Joe's going to take the bullet because he's the
yes,
face-fronting version of it.
As he did with the two-way players not traveling, whether that was true or not, like, that's what you got to do in these
Well,
calls.
Who got fined in the Young stuff?
Right.
Who got in trouble?
It was Mike Schmitz, not Joe Cronin.
And Serge, Sergi. So he's still here.
Yeah.
So one of those guys is still around, and maybe he also has a big hand in all this. I don't know. The funny thing to me is going to be, whether you're meh, huge, or none, vote at Dirt and Sprague now. The funny thing's going to be when he goes to Dallas, and Dallas taking a step next year of being a play-in team, and he's going to suddenly get credit when they have Kyrie Irving coming back and Cooper freaking Flagg.
Having Cooper Flagg to build around makes that a very desirable
job. It makes
job.
It an easy build.
Masai talked about that,
you.
Too. He was like, it was going to take something unique to get me to come jump at an opportunity.
Yeah.
And when I look around the NBA, you have Wemby, you have, you know, SGA, you have these young pieces that you feel like you can build around for a decade to come.
Sure.
They have that in Dallas.
You largely only get fired out of that job by bothering Masai
yeah.
or continually being the second round team for like three straight years with Cooper
right.
Flagg, who can't get over the hump. Other than that, that's a cush situation. You just need to add the right little pieces along the way while just saying, hey, Kyrie Irving really stinking good with the basketball. Cooper Flagg really stinking good with the basketball.
Yep. One other name, by the way, we'll get to on that angle. There's a note out of the NBA that I'm curious of this weekend to talk a little bit about. I can't remember if this happened on Friday. The timeline of when these things get reported, it's all unique if we talked about it or not.
Yep.
Did we talk about Ben Sullivan interviewing for the job for the Blazers head coaching position? I remember we talked about Steve Hetzel. He was the guy
yep.
who won the G League title in Portland, and I think
Jared
it was
Dudley.
And Jared Dudley. We talked about those two. He was the other guy that was thrown into the mix. I thought it was over the weekend. I can't remember anymore at this point.
Now
he's the assistant for Ime
yeah.
in Houston. He's bounced around to a number of different spots, and then I think he's also a local guy. I think he's from Lake Oswego.
Played at the University of Portland.
Played at
the
thank you. Played. I thought
yeah,
that,
he went
I read
to Lake
that.
O High School.
He's a local guy, so yeah. there's a ties to the Portland area. So
yep.
What do I know about him as an assistant coach? I have no idea.
Well, Joe's probably known him for a long time.
I would tend to think so, right?
Yeah.
And so it just was another name thrown into the bunch. That's another guy that they've interviewed. Be really curious to see how long that takes them. Like, what's your timeline in your guy's head of when we find out who the next coach of the Blazers is?
Well, didn't...
Are we going like a month from now? Are we getting close to the draft? Do you
before
think
the draft.
Something's tied up in the next week or two?
I would hope before the draft.
I would tend to think that, well, we don't have a first-round pick, but you'd like
well,
to
no,
say on
but
a second-round pick.
Operate on, yeah. If you're going to try to buy your way into the second round, because Cronin was talking about getting into the draft a little bit at his press
right.
conference, I'd imagine you want to coach around for that.
Right.
So, Ben Sullivan, Dan Sullivan, Rob Sullivan.
Who knows, man.
Make a good roster, and I think Ben will be okay.
So a note out of the NBA, you mentioned Dallas there, and I thought about it with Schmitz taking the job, and then they end up with the ninth overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Of, like, just the idea behind, you know, There became a social media thing this weekend where Denny is an interesting player in this market. He is controversial, maybe is too extreme of a word, but some fans have a certain feeling about him or like him more than others do. Some view him as this, you know, savior and a number one option that we could build around for years to come.
Well, I think it's split wide, too. It's
without a doubt.
Basketball and it's
some non-basketball.
Geopolitics.
No doubt about it, especially in this market and in this climate. I did have a thought in the back of my head. It has nothing to do with the trade necessarily that we made with them years ago. I did have a chuckle with Washington winning the first overall pick and being like, man, we've spent a year and a half kind of joking at Washington of like, why would you do that trade? It's aged horribly for you. He's only gotten better. Malcolm Brogdon retired, I believe, I want to say after one season. Was out.
Yep.
Bub Carrington, you'll have to tell me how he is because I don't watch Wizards games.
He's fine. He's a role guy.
Fine, right? Yep. So like you traded for a guy who retired a year later and Bub Carrington, who's not a huge impact player, and we got an all-star out of it. We fleeced you. And again, this was not a part of that trade, but in a way it was because it made the Wizards worse in the short term. They ended up with the number one overall pick. And if they hit on that pick, I had the thought this weekend of like, God, that's going to sting if they end up being better than us before we're at that level in the NBA.
Well, we noted this along the way, like when they would go on their little losing streaks during the regular season, right? Like we would talk about this, like Detroit passed you.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt they did. They're the one seed in the East. They're 2 wins away from the conference finals.
The Hornets.
Yes.
I think right now people are liking the trajectory of the Hornets as much as they're liking the trajectory of you, and they didn't even make the playoffs.
If you were going to collect the rosters together and say, who do you want to build around?
Well, and the Jazz are probably going to get a Peterson, a Caleb Wilson, a DeBonta, a
Boozer. Right.
You look at Utah and they're like, I just think you just look at the future of everything and you're going to get. We name out teams when we talk about our team in regards to roster building. We name, you don't want to be them, and then you fast forward a year or two, them is better than us.
Phoenix was that a year ago. They were a disaster. They traded away their star guys, and they didn't end up making the playoffs. We beat them, but they finished the regular season with a better record.
That doesn't also negate from the fact that like you could have Denny and, oh, by the way, still have the number one pick. Denny wouldn't have changed them tanking. Denny would have had good numbers for him.
Yeah.
But they would have largely got out of the business of winning with Denny Avdia and said, Denny, put your numbers up. We're going to try to be bad. And then you could, oh, by the way, have DeBonta and Denny, Darren Peterson and Denny,
any
Caleb
combination
Wilson and Denny,
you want to go with. Cambu,
any combination you want to name. So I think it's okay to say like, oh my gosh, they might get the guy. But those guys take 2-3 years to really like take the team to the next level. How long did it take Cade Cunningham to get to the Pistons, right?
Cooper Flagg's a great example. He had an awesome rookie. He was the first rookie, I think, to lead his team in points, rebounds, and assists, and forever.
And they had the ninth pick in the draft.
And they were the ninth pick in the draft.
So it's not that they won't be better than us. It's that, you can still kind of momentarily make fun of them. Weirdly, it's sad that the Wizards won. It's not a team I want to ever win the lottery. Them and the Kings, I just perpetually never win the lottery, please. They haven't won it since John freaking Wall.
I feel that way about New Orleans is probably
New
my
Orleans,
biggest team of that in the
one.
NBA.
Yeah. I feel that way actually about Utah because the way Utah went about doing what they've done has
been grimy.
Egregious.
It was dirty.
What do you do if you're Utah and you're on the clock and Carlos Boozer is a scout for your organization, and DeBonta is off the board.
Carlos Boozer's a scout for the Jazz?
You know who also played for the Jazz?
Yeah, I do. I didn't know he was scouting for the Jazz.
Are they taking Caleb Wilson?
That's a funny conundrum.
That is
no move out.
An awkward, weird spot for the Jazz to be
dude,
in.
Dude, what the hell, man?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I mean, look, your jumper's weak, kid.
There's too many Boozers in history. You're better off. Go be a Grizzly.
I didn't know he
Why
was
you
a
grit
scout
and grind
for the
it.
Jazz, dude. I had no idea. I know that they got their eyes on DeBonta. That's the guy that they mainly want because of the connections there forever.
I don't think he's like one of their top scouts because he gets to go watch his kid play. But I think he's
paying
like
for
a
his thoughts here
scout.
Or there. Like, can you stop by and share some notes with us? The only saving grace of Washington getting the number one overall pick in the draft is that at least it went to an Eastern Conference team. Now, again, maybe Utah mortgages
but two
everything
of the three
and moves
are
up,
in the West.
But two of the three are definitely in the West, and then Chicago with fourth overall.
Let me give you a take, dude. I don't know what the market's really going to be for Ja Morant. Like, why is there a market at all? The contract, the off-court stuff.
What is his contract?
Well, he got the $200 million deal.
Oh.
And they got it like the year before he sat.
Oh.
If you're Memphis, you could easily spin this. He's still popular in your community.
Oh, he's huge there.
He's exciting to see play, even if he's not shooting better than 31% from three.
That's not terrible. He's got 2 years left, 42-44.
Him throwing a lob to Caleb Wilson.
Yeah.
There could be worse things you have to sell to your fan base.
Without a doubt. Or Peterson going there and being your running court back, your backcourt running mate, if I could say that properly.
Yeah.
Like, you could sell that a little bit. Yeah, I'll be curious to see, because they've already moved off Triple J, obviously, the 5 first-round picks.
And Desmond Bane.
For Bane. So they've
Brooks
gotten
is gone.
Two of the, a couple of their key pieces. They're clearly building towards the future, and they already feel great, I'm sure, about their like, if you're holding five, I don't know how many all the picks from Orlando were directly from Orlando.
Yeah.
You're feeling pretty damn good about your cachet of weapons down the road.
Sure.
So it's not the end of the world if you don't trade Morant. And we see that, I feel like, from time to time with teams who tear it down, who end up kind of holding on to one more piece of it to kind of bridge the gap between generations. And to your point, he's a huge fan favorite there. But I always do have that thought because, you know, whenever you watch these things, this is ultimately, it's lottery luck. It's not, there's no rhyme or reason for it. You're not giving an organization credit. Everybody in this mix tried to lose as many games as possible. Some just had a ping pong ball that bounced their way. But it's the reality of, like, how much the league and the organizations can change based on the outcome that happened yesterday and how quickly this stuff can spin. Like, the prime example of this in the last 2 years of the NBA, what did we all think of the Dallas Mavericks a year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
And now we look at the Dallas Mavericks as what in the Western Conference?
But them and the Hawks, this is the funny thing, too, is I kind of went into this draft a little different in the sense of, like, the idea of being at the back end lottery. Like, I understood your opinion when we were talking about playoff spot or late lottery percentage luck. I get it. I don't agree with it, but, like, I largely understood where you were coming from. I bucked against the idea that, like, we were going to get another super long shot. And you look at the way the results played out. Like, did the Kings and Nets get screwed? Yeah, to a certain extent, they
Somebody
did.
Will every year.
But
yeah.
Wizards, Jazz, and Grizzlies, it's exactly who should have been at the top of the draft. And I think because of Atlanta and because of Dallas, and, you know, even San Antonio got into this a little bit when they got Harper, because of those events, we were like, well, the NBA is not rewarding the tanking teams.
No.
And the year that they talk most about tanking and fixing the rules, it's like, oh, yeah, I'd rather be at the back end. That luck. None of that luck really played out the way it should have,
No, it did not.
Golden State didn't move. Milwaukee's 10th. You've got the Golden State, Milwaukee.
OKC was the other one that had a 12. Chance to jump, like, up they, with the Clippers first-round pick.
The better teams are the teams that are easily in a position where one great pick can either swing or continue the trend of them winning. None of that hit. So, you know, I hear you. And obviously you had the trade with the Pacers not go their way. But
yeah.
I just viewed it as, like, the idea of you were going to be the back end and get the luck. I think it had kind of run its course because a couple years in a row you had it, and percentages just say math is going to math.
Where was Chicago? Where were their odds going in?
I think they were 7th or 8th.
So were they the biggest climber? I didn't look much at the odds going in because we weren't involved with it. I knew that they were bad, but not quite to that level. They won 31 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They were 9th in the odds.
That's what it was.
So they jumped from 9 to 4.
So here were your top three.
So that's your big swing.
Wizards, Pacers, and Nets were your top 3, 14%, right? And the Nets got absolutely obliterated, and the Pacers lost their pick.
They slipped, yeah. 5 you wouldn't feel terrible about. It was just the idea that they didn't protect it there.
Right behind them, Jazz,
yep.
Kings, then Grizzlies. So there's two of your top three right there. The Pelicans were just behind them. The Mavericks, the Bulls, the Bucks. Yeah. So it kind of shook out.
Yeah, there's always one that jumps up, not necessarily to the number one pick. So that would have been the idea of could you got to the point where you get into a top 5 or 6 situation. Chicago doing it is unique because they've been desperate to get out of purgatory for a long time. Maybe they land somebody at 4.
Well, they've had talent. They've just chosen to not keep it and then pivot to other people who don't make any sense.
They've done the epitome of both feet in each pool where you're losing, but you're not trying to lose hard enough.
Yeah.
And you're winning, but you're not trying to win hard enough. It's been the weird, like, what are you doing?
Well, they're literally happy being 41 and 41 and being in the play-in.
Tear down to the studs or trade all of your assets to go all in and get another piece. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I know.
Whose stock are we buying most in the aftermath of it? Is it Washington? What do they do now with Anthony Davis and Trey Young?
Davis doesn't seem like he wants to play a second.
Does not seem like he wants to. Is it Utah, who's got Jaren Jackson Jr.? Markkanen's already a good player. Mm-hmm. Ace
Kieton
Bailey.
George.
Did Ace Bailey do anything this year?
He had some moments, but largely.
They might throw him in if they want to move up to number one, but you got the number 2 over. Is it Memphis with all of their future assets that they got from the Bane and Jackson trade?
Right.
Now with third,
right.
Who are we buying stock in out of the lottery outcome? Because one of these teams is going to hit it. You know that they will.
I'm a huge believer in DeBonta.
Kevin Garnett floor is what I'm being told.
That's Caleb Wilson.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Jay Williams on ESPN said the bar for Caleb Wilson is Kevin Garnett. The ceiling is Giannis. And I'm like, wow.
And I also heard that and got a little offended
for KG.
Via KG.
You think Kevin Garnett better than Giannis?
I don't know if he's better, but like the insinuation there.
I think you can make an argument easily. I'm
like,
not mad
at
you.
He's a more well-rounded player. He was a they're both freaks.
Who's better, Giannis or KG, Swag? Who would you take there?
KG could shoot, man.
I know, he had a post game.
I think the thought about Giannis that scares me is how does his game age?
Do you think it ages like KG's, where he's mostly just defense and not really your offensive juggernaut? He's
giving
12?
Yeah.
That's how I think he's going to age.
Because he won't have the explosiveness the same way. Yeah.
I mean, KG did it for a long time.
If you started a franchise, like, tough thing is Giannis' first couple years, he was almost.
My concern about Giannis now going forward is just, is he going to continue to break down on a regular basis? And it also depends on the makeup of my team.
But they're at their peaks. Who are you taking?
I think I'm taking KG.
I think I'm taking Garnett.
I think I'm going KG.
Yeah, I think that'd probably be the popular vote, to be honest with you.
That's not easy, though.
That was an interesting take. The bar is Kevin Garnett?
Yeah, that you got to pick some. You can't pick one of the best bigs in the history of the league.
If Tim Duncan didn't exist, it might be Garnett.
Right. You got to find me another, like, who's a good run-of-the-mill, like, career 14-8 guy. You know,
you have to find a lower bar than Kevin Garnett.
You have to find a lower bar than that. That's too high of a bar. You can tell me the ceiling is Giannis. That's fine.
Rasheed Wallace.
Yes, there you go.
Al Horford.
Very good player.
Give me a bar like at a level where, he's a really good player.
Okay.
Carlos freaking Boozer would have
impactful
been a better bar.
Impactful for a long time.
You know what I mean?
But not Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett is your bar?
He was a unicorn before unicorns. He was a shooting 6'11 center.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm gonna ask the poll question, which player at their peak was better, Kevin Garnett or Giannis?
I like that. Throw that one out there. The poll question of the day is up as well on Mike Schmidt. Some NBA musings out of the weekend. The lottery transpired. For some reason, the NBA put it on Mother's Day at noon. Good luck with that. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, did we put up the poll question? KG and...
poll question's up.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Which player at their peak was better, Kevin Garnett or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Okay. A lot of text coming in. Thoughts on YouTube, KG,
now,
Giannis, back and forth.
I'm a big Giannis guy. I love his story. I got the book.
Might be a Blazer this offseason.
I'd be ecstatic if he was a Blazer because I'm one of those, like, it's cool to see certain players in your uniform. I was this way about Scottie, and that panned out pretty well.
It did.
I got to be honest. I know people were frustrated. I kind of felt that way about Melo with the 00. I was like, this is kind of cool. Very Portland of me to say.
I'm just going to let that one fly.
Exactly.
I'll let that one
let it go.
Water under the bridge.
We shot it out there.
Can't hurt
now
me anymore.
You got the take. Exactly. If you're pressing me to pick at their peak, it's Kevin Garnett. Like Minnesota,
has the ability to shoot? Is that simply it?
It's the overall offensive repertoire.
Yeah, he's got a bigger repertoire.
He didn't get to play in the three-ball era. I think he would have had a three-ball that would have been absolutely lethal. He was a midi guy. His back-to-the-basket game was awesome. His footwork was fantastic. I think he's just as explosive, just not as kind of weirdly lengthy built as Giannis.
Yeah.
And he was more ready to go day one than Giannis was, who took a couple years to grow and develop. And again, I love me some Giannis, but if Kevin Garnett, peak Kevin Garnett, whatever that year is for you guys, 04, 03, if I took that Kevin Garnett and put him on a different team that had, like, you know, better players,
yeah,
I think he's at minimum getting to a finals or
agreed,
at least battling Timmy D in the Western Conference Finals every year.
Agree with you there.
If he had a Kobe Bryant, I think he's in the West Finals every year against Tim Duncan.
Dude, if you swapped him and Shaq, I mean, and look at the tenures there, I don't know what Minnesota does with Shaq because he's the most physically dominant player of
and
all
Shaq
time.
Shaq won them, you know, he's kind of the leading charge
of
the
but the point is, like, you got to have a running mate, and he never had a running mate. And then the first chance he got at a running mate, he goes to Boston, and they won a title his first year there, and he wasn't even the same player anymore, although I do believe he won Defensive Player of the Year that year in Boston. His MVP year, to your point, was 03-04. Was his MVP year?
He was DPOY in 07-08.
Okay, that was first year in Boston.
He got one MVP at Minnesota. Yeah, it was 03-04. So that was the Kevin Garnett I'm talking about.
He was runner-up for MVP, Pete, though, a couple of times. He was top five a number of times. Yep. So he was in the mix. And not that Giannis, again, isn't. It's just a hilarious take. It's one of my favorite things about draft season that I don't – and maybe I wasn't paying it close enough attention. I don't feel like we did this as much in the NFL. Am I wrong on that this year?
He was averaging 24-14-5
in
his MVP season.
It's insane. Did we do this in the NFL draft where it was like, this guy's
– yeah,
his
comps, Mendoza.
Joe Montana.
Mel Kiper.
Maybe I just wasn't listening
that closely. Mel Kiper does this every year.
See, and I don't watch the Mel Kiper one because I can't stand Mel Kiper.
Is Jay Williams basically the Mel Kiper version? I'd argue he is.
Yeah,
get out there, give the hottest take you can, dude. What's the bar? The bar minimum, we're talking Josh Allen.
You know what they tell
me? That's what Mel Kiper's doing with Fernando Mendoza.
You know what they tell me? The ceiling's the roof.
I think we actually played a clip on a report where he basically said out loud, at minimum, Mendoza is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Why?
I'm not kidding. We need to look this up. I think he said that out loud. That's the same equivalent as the bar is Kevin Garnett.
Why do we need to the comp thing is just funny to me. We don't need to spend
a
lot
of time on
that. To give
people an understanding when they don't watch players.
We always comp the white guy to a white guy. Like, it's always... At the time, I don't even feel like it's that. And then you get this nonsense of like, well, all right, let's set this kid up to failure.
We didn't comp Cooper Flagg to a white guy.
We didn't. We comped him. We comped him to a non-white. I don't remember the Cooper Flagg comps. I have to go back and watch the draft.
He got a little bit of the Giannis stuff.
Did he get the Giannis stuff? We didn't just go straight to Larry Bird. Sure about that? You sure about that?
Steve Nash. But Larry Bird size.
He's a bigger version of Steve Nash. Oh, okay. What are you doing there?
Holy cheat code. Would that be great?
I mean, it's kind of accurate. He's a great passer of the ball.
Who did we comp Kevin Love to? Was it George Mikan because of the inbound passes?
No, I thought it was because...
Who did we comp Kevin Love to?
I feel like that's a rule at ESPN. It's whites. Whites got to stay with the whites, man.
I thought it was Wes Unseld.
We don't mingle.
Whites
here.
Go with whites. Mixes go black.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's what you do. Yeah, Wes Unseld. That's who it was. Kevin Love got Wes Unseld.
That was the comp.
Bullet legend.
The comp stuff is just fun. I just love that we do that.
I love comp season.
Comp season is glorious.
One fan base. We just got T-Mac.
Wait, you told me I just got a combo of Kevin Garnett and Giannis? Is that what I got here?
Utah damn right fan. It is, man. We've got Kyrie 2.0, and we don't give him creatine.
That's right. I saw this. I thought it was interesting. Now, I know that the overall feeling right now is not positive for the NBA playoffs. They have not. We debated a little bit round one last week. Round two has not been great.
I think you're wrong on round one. Round two has been a disaster.
The tough part for me from round one.
Round one was pretty interesting.
I mean, here's the only thing that I say.
For the NBA.
For
the NBA, it was interesting.
The only reason I say that is one of the series that went seven games I literally didn't care about.
That's fine. And I totally get that opinion.
Like, Cleveland-Toronto did nothing. I don't care.
You also, the unfortunate thing that baseball, hockey, and basketball suffer from, we don't watch the regular season in large numbers the way we do the NFL. So I personally could not have cared less about an AFC title game, but I also got myself excited about the AFC title game.
Jared Stidham starting an NFC or AFC title game?
I also watched both of those teams multiple times throughout the year. In the NBA, I mean, you said this out loud, you didn't watch a Thunder game unless they played the Blazers.
Nah.
And that was that was the best team in the sport.
People tell me they're the 98 Bulls.
Right now,
the 2017 Warriors.
I mean, I don't know who you're picking to stop them.
Nobody. That's the answer. But the reason I bring this up is I found this interesting. So just in terms of the product, now again, series dictates this and better matchups can help it.
Sure.
NBA playoff scoring is still down 3.6 points per 100 possessions. Let's get our nerd glasses on here for a moment.
Love it.
That is the second biggest offensive drop-off that we have seen since 1977.
So,
from the regular season to the playoffs. Now, again, hard to, like, you know, you need good series to make it compelling? Do we like the style of basketball? Because it's been, when you, the graphs, by the way, on this are nuts, dude. The 2004 Pistons,
yeah,
were
yeah.
The, I think that was the other one that was that big of an offensive drop off. And so defense seems to be ruling the day, or is it bad offense?
Well, look, I'm actually, I hate to say this because my name's on the show. I'm probably the worst person to ask this question to. Because I think the NBA and I think the style of basketball, I kind of go counterculture to most people. I think it's better than it's ever been.
Sure.
I think the style of play is somebody who played.
I think it's a question for from regular season to postseason. Because to have that big of a drop off from the regular season to playoffs, it's a different
style. If we got to all play the way these kids now are learning and how they're playing in the pros, I would have enjoyed basketball even more than I did. And I had to play like, hey, we need a 6'9 guy to be back to the basket. Shoot 3 threes a game. Don't shoot 7. I would have loved it. So I'm probably the wrong person. This is an argument for everybody that hates the NBA or poo-poos it or says it's awful and unwatchable. You literally just gave me numbers that say they're literally not playing that way, that there's more defense. I think it's more of a measurement of defense than it is offense tailing off.
Okay.
The refs are letting them play more physical, so you're not getting as many easy looks or uncontested looks.
I didn't know how much having like a Wemby type in the playoffs affects this too, because he's one of the best defensive players we've ever seen.
Well, New York
or impactful
is really good defensively. Minnesota, it can be absolutely stout defensively with Gobert. We know what Wemby is. Oklahoma City is a buzzsaw defensively. And Detroit was the best team in basketball because of their defense. So,
yes.
Like, I think it's no shocking development. Their offense are dropping because you're seeing the best defensive teams and teams that can really hit you with athleticism and switchability thriving at the top of the sport right now. So, I think it's great, but I don't speak, I think, for the every sports fan who doesn't really care that much about regular season basketball.
Swag, yay or nay? We like it?
I'm curious what is attributing to that. Is it the, are they not calling as fouls much, and is it because guys aren't going to the free throw line as much as they do in the regular season? Is it because teams are more focused for 48 minutes on playing defense and shoot, and field goal percentage is down overall? Because during the regular season, frankly, some nights when you're on the game 4 of a 6-game road trip, you just don't have legs. I'm curious about that. The inconsistency of what a foul is continues to drive me nuts. If the NBA truly wants to clean stuff up, the one place they can start is to call moving screens. 80% of screens that are set are moving. And it's ugly because you're going to have to foul guys out to do it, to get guys to switch.
Even in the playoffs, you're upset with the officiating?
Yes.
I feel like moving screens are dictated based on who's setting the screen.
Exactly.
Like Carter Bryant had one in the game yesterday that I'm like, if that's Wemby, they're not calling that.
Exactly.
But it's a rookie Carter Bryant. And he's like, what?
And if everything is geared towards the offense to begin with and the physicality ratchets up in the playoffs, they have to be consistent calling that. That drives me nuts.
Okay, but if it's offensive geared, but the numbers are down on offense, what are you attributing that to?
I think they're not calling as many fouls. I think there's not as.
But hasn't that league always we always say that playoff basketball is officiated
now? This is the fifth year in a row that we have seen a decrease from the regular season to playoffs, which I don't think is surprising.
I don't think that's surprising.
The only thing that makes it unique is that they've tracked this all the way back to 1977.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to us.
Yep.
The only year that is comparable to this in terms of this level of a drop off is 2004 when the Pistons won the title, and that's one of the least watched.
The 05 one is.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that meant 04 to 05. I don't know, but it says 2004 Pistons.
If it was the Pistons series, that's the least watched NBA finals in league history.
If it's
the Laker one, it's okay, but they were largely defensive based.
We're talking finals that were 82 to 76.
I just think
you're
in
not
the
seeing
playoffs,
63s in games.
Yeah.
No. No.
You did in the regular season multiple times.
The Knicks lit it up a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
We certainly had that in our elimination game. Like, you get the 1-2-3 Cancun game a little bit, but it does seem like the scoring is down. What mathematically tells you that the numbers tell you it is down. I just thought it was interesting of, like, it's always a different style from regular season to playoffs, but to put that into perspective, there are years recently, the Showtime Lakers were the biggest swing the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
In the years that they were winning titles, the numbers were bigger in the playoffs from the regular season, which is ironic considering the era in which they played it and what we say about 1980s basketball.
Yeah.
But this is the second biggest drop-off since 1977 in terms of points per possession.
I think it's a compliment to the defense, personally.
Yeah, I do too.
Defense reigns supreme. It matters. You got to have guys that can guard multiple positions. And again, If you want to throw Cleveland in it, you kind of can because they also apply to this. All these teams remaining, even the ones that are going to get eliminated tonight and tomorrow, they're loaded with switchability and smart defensive players. Minnesota's probably going to lose to the Spurs. Dude, they're juggernauts on
defense.
They're
very good defensively.
They're tough.
I know. Well, let's get you set for your night in sports. LeBron playing his last game of the year because the Lakers will get swept. Any hope in the other series? And we'll take a stroll around what else is happening in the world of sports. We'll do it next. Wrap it up on The Fan.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a couple of housekeeping things here to wrap up the show.
Do you care to be frustrated real quick?
Yeah, sure. Fire away.
15 minutes ago, no further punishment for Victor Wembanyama. Yes. No fine, no suspension, ready to play for game 5.
That was in my odds and ends to close up
that
the show.
That is unbelievable.
The old ballless wonder Adam Silver's at it again.
I cannot.
Who's got those things in a vice?
Dude.
I don't know, but
unbelievable.
He's not going to punish him. He doesn't have a spine.
Dirt. I'm a big Wimby guy. That's one of the more intentional actions we've seen a basketball player make.
It's incredibly dirty.
He looked right
what happens
at
to Draymond if Draymond does that?
If Draymond Green does that, we
he's
would not
out two
stop
playoff
talking
games.
About. Yes.
He gets a firm talking to by the refs, though.
I just
don't do it again, Draymond.
Look, I get that part of it is they just have things that I want. And if Victor Wembanyama was a Blazer, I would be over the moon and I would own a Victor Wembanyama jersey and I'd wear my France underwear every day I came into work.
I'd be the guy getting the championship tattoo and then waiting to fill in the blank of the year or be willing to do the year.
You and I would Lady and the Tramp a baguette every day at the 9:30 segment of the show, okay? All that being said, this guy has grown exponentially on my do not like list. And that took it to another level last
crazy
night because that was a dirty-ass play.
He should be suspended for game 5.
Some of the stuff that he did against the Blazers, landing on guys, and then you want your coach to turn around in the aftermath of the game and act like, well, he's got to learn how to fight back and protect himself. Well, how about guys protecting themselves against your 7'7" ass falling on top of them, huh? How about that? Yeah, no further suspension for Victor Wembanyama. Not a surprise there. We did have, out of the weekend, I know you kind of briefly touched on it.
Yeah.
In the very opening of the show, Bobby Cox passed away.
I know. I didn't get to it. My Bravos had a great series
RIP,
win.
Man. Him and Ted Turner going the same week kind of like
seemed weirdly right.
If I'm a Braves legend, are you worried right now?
They going in threes?
They going in threes. Is it a Braves three?
I don't know, man. That was a tough
check,
one for me.
Check up on your heroes.
I realized, I don't know how I got to this, but like, of all the people giving the takes on the Jailblazer doc, I heard a lot of like, I don't understand why like Rashid's a favorite. And it's hard to put into words. Like, I was a different age than some people who are older and more living through what was going on day to day. I think it's because the manager of my favorite baseball team was Rashid Wallace of Baseball Managers.
Dude, he got tossed every other day.
If he didn't get tossed in a series, he wasn't doing his job.
He's come out yelling about something.
So, like, liking...
he was at the end of it. Like, you had Billy Martin and Earl Weaver. Tommy Lasorda got tossed. They would come out.
But Bobby Cox is the all-time one, dude. He is the Rashid Wallace of managers being tossed. And, like... there was a weird thing about me being at an age and feeling rebellious and liking that kind of behavior. And, I mean, he was the skipper of a team that he was coaching them when I started becoming a fan.
They managed him forever, dude.
Yeah, you gave me a Bobby Cox baseball that I still have.
Shout out to Big Dave. Got that at Coors Field. He gave it to me randomly. And I'm like, why are you giving me a Bobby Cox signed baseball? And then I met you and I knew you were a Braves fan.
I wasn't shocked. The last I'd heard, he wasn't doing particularly well.
Yeah.
It was more just like, you know, Ted Turner, what he created with the Atlanta Braves and TBS and the Superstation. And then Bobby Cox and, you know, just... really cool of all the things that they beat the Dodgers this weekend and won that series.
They did. Took 2 out of 3.
Still don't know if they can beat them in the playoffs, but they're the best team in baseball right now. Their only loss is to the Seattle Mariners. Still can't believe that happened. All the teams.
Did they lose to the White Sox this weekend? Did they lose their series?
I didn't see if they lost. I wasn't watching.
I knew they were playing the White Sox. I didn't see if somebody texted in and something about please don't talk about the Mariners today. So I don't know if that was tongue in cheek or
maybe they lost Sunday.
Maybe they lost the series.
If they beat my Bravos and then turn around and lost the series to the Sox.
The White Sox have a better record than the Giants, so I'm not going to criticize them.
I know, but to beat the Braves and then to lose to the White Sox is incredibly frustrating. But RIP Bobby Cox, man, a big sports figure in my life.
It's wild to think, how long was he the manager of the Braves for?
What was the tenure?
Because it was close to 20 years.
Was it only 20? I felt like it was longer than that.
I thought it was like 88 to...
Because he was there for the whole run, right?
Yeah,
with Glavin and Smoltz and Maddox and all the guys when they got
the
him.
World Series and what do you leave at? 03, 04?
Let's see.
05? He was out of there around then, wasn't he?
This says his manager, he was there from 78 to 81 and then came back in 1990. So he did 4 years and then came back in 90.
How about that?
And then was there until 2010.
2010. God, shortchanged.
I remember.
I mean,
the Giants' first World Series of their three, they played the Braves in the divisional round.
It became like a first round exit team every year.
It did, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then they tanked.
The teams kind of, you know, evolved over. I remember Derek Lee being on that team, a random throwback name. But I remember that. I couldn't remember if it was specifically his last year, but I remember that being a storyline when the Giants beat him in the wild card round of like, this could be it for Bobby, or maybe he had already announced that he was retiring and he was a legend that was gone. He also coached the Blue Jays, managed the Blue Jays from 82 to 85.
Yeah.
So,
RIP to a baseball legend, man, Bobby Cox. What a great career.
Unbelievable career. The longevity was great. One of the biggest characters. I love hearing the old round tables of guys like Chipper and Smoltz when they get together and do those kind of, you know, behind the scenes stuff, and some of the stories they tell about Bobby and his ejections are just hilarious, man. Worth a watch.
Kind of insane, like you're a cheating Jim Leeritz away in 96 from repeating.
Yes, would add two.
And you were a game seven away from Minnesota. Like, imagine him if he would have had three of them things.
When they're pumping the fans on in the outfield.
Yes.
Or in behind home plate. Uh-huh. That's the old conspiracy theory, Adam, in Minneapolis. They turn the fans on when Kirby Puckett's at plate. But when a Braves up there, we're going to turn those things in. It's going to blow the balls back in.
That LeBron
inside
cramping?
The old Metrodome, yeah. Oh, our AC doesn't work anymore. Sorry about that, guys. Oh, all of our guys had IVs at halftime. What a conundrum. So RIP to Bobby Cox, a couple of Braves legends gone. I did want to give a quick shout out to a buddy of mine because something really cool happened to him over the weekend that I found out.
Yep.
He's been coaching for a long time in the basketball world. My buddy Jay Mercer got named the head coach at Forest Grove High School.
How about that?
Men's basketball.
There we go.
He applied for the job. It's been a big deal for him. He's been their assistant for like 8 years. He's been working the way up. Their coach retired, and so he got the head coaching job. Wanted to give him a shout out.
Shout out Jay Mercer.
Congratulations on getting the head coaching job at Forest Grove. I believe they're the Dragons. Is it the Forest Grove Dragons?
Vikings.
That's close.
Yeah, one of my daughter's oldest friends is a stud soccer player.
Okay.
There, so.
We'll play the Viking horn. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on how they do next year. Excited about that. NBA tonight. Probably not going to watch much OKCLA, just be honest with you.
What's the bigger buildup to tonight? Is it Giannis and the Bucks are finally now taking the calls and the trade is going to happen, or is it the games?
It's the Giannis situation is a bigger deal.
Shams put that out. It's official. He's open.
Is he still lying, though, about the reporting? Is Giannis just going to come out and tell him that he's making this report up again?
I think Giannis is just going to quietly sit there and say, yeah, go ahead.
He's also going to get dealt wherever he wants to go because he's not going to sign an extension anywhere, and so he will have direct control over how this ends up because as much as the idea of the Kawhi Leonard situation is great in Toronto, that was also a very unique circumstance, and I don't know if that team exists out there.
What team mortgages the
for a 1 year rental?
Like they're actually close, and they're a Giannis away. That's the tough one. It's not Portland.
It's not Portland.
And he won't sign an extension here.
Boston doesn't necessarily. They already won a title, so it's different.
I could see him signing in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, if you do the Brown deal, I could see that. Yeah. Cleveland, maybe.
You think it's Cleveland? You're going to have to put a...
I know. I wouldn't do it if I were them, but could you see them winning the East if they had Giannis and like Donovan Mitchell next year? Like, that's a tough part. The East seems much more open.
Than the West.
Not that he couldn't go to a team like him and Luka Doncic in L.A., maybe toppling one of those top teams.
But the OKC
in the Western Conference
isn't... Dude,
it is so good.
They are 12 deep.
So you'd have to stick in the Eastern Conference. And I think that I've read that reporting, too, that he wants to stay in the East. So, our dream is dead.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Dare to dream. Maybe we're the third team involved in a trade.
Let's go get Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis.
You give us Jalen Brown, and we'll give you some stuff.
Hey, I'll do that deal still.
Me too.
Yeah, that'll be the bigger storyline for sure. Do we get a 3-1 series lead in Cleveland-Detroit? Or do we even it up tonight in Cleveland?
I think we even it up.
They're a 3.5-point favorite.
I don't feel good about saying that.
No, I'm not touching that
series.
Game.
Is weird.
I'm not doing it.
And I think the Lakers series is over.
Yeah, then Thunder Lakers in L.A. By the way, first game on NBC, second game on Prime, which makes it even easier to not watch. Stanley Cup playoff continues tonight. Only one game on the slate. It's the Avalanche in the Wild. Colorado's got a 2-1 series lead, looking for a 3-1 series lead in Minnesota tonight. So there you go. That will do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, at 1051thefan. Thank you so much for being a part of our Monday. Hope you had a great Mother's Day weekend. We got a lot still to get to this week, and we will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The firm, Harrison Meringue, is next. You're listening to 1051 FM The Fan.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.